Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, we have Bettina Gozo, and she is a master Nike trainer and a complete ball of energy and passion. I really enjoyed getting to know Bettina, and she certainly is going to be somebody that's going to be back on the show. Really knows her stuff and is also really, really passionate about educating people, not just on, you know, hey, work out and get excited about being fit, but really how to approach fitness from a holistic perspective. In fact, we talk quite a lot about her approach with her clients, how and why she developed this approach. And we talk a lot in this interview as well about something that is making a huge positive impact on my life, and that is a strong focus on mobility in your training. And that's, you know, something that is not as widespread as it should be, but we're hoping that it will be. In other words, I don't think you hear enough about mobility, foam rolling, the type of movements that you need to do to warm your body up before you train, and why all of this is important in your training. I don't think that that kind of messaging is widespread enough in today's media coverage of anything fitness related. It certainly is something that is needed. I can testify firsthand that a strong focus on mobility has been a game changer in my fitness game, in how I perform, in how I feel afterwards. And frankly, it's almost like a mini workout in and of itself, all the mobility work that I do. And it's changing everything for me. It's changing how I feel outside of the gym. It's changing how I stand. It's changing how I function. So it's really, really good. I think you're going to learn quite a lot about it and certainly leave this show much more educated, but also motivated to incorporate this into your training. Just a few blurbs before we head right into the interview, because I know you want to listen about Bettina. But she currently serves as a full-time personal trainer and independent contractor for a variety of commercial modeling campaigns. She's also been hired as an on-camera talent for a multitude of projects. She's originally from Chicago, like me, and has recently moved to Portland, Oregon, where she works at the Nike World headquarters and has founded Canvas Training. Canvas Training is a fitness training service that offers one-on-one training, private group training, and online training. Between acting in various roles for commercials and corporate industrials. You can also find Bettina working with Nike on various projects. She's been featured on Nike.com and the Nike Training Club app and works with the brand as an NTC master trainer. You are going to love this interview with Bettina. I can't wait for you to learn from her and dive in. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I have with me, you can sense the excitement in my voice because not only of who this woman is, but also what we're going to talk about today. I have Bettina Gozo on the show with us today. She's a master Nike trainer. I mean, you heard me talk about her in the bio at the beginning of the show in the intro. She's absolutely amazing. We both hail from Chicago originally. We both are not really sad that we're not living there at the moment, although we always have a fondness for Chicago. We'll put it that way. We'll say it with some fondness, right? But welcome to the show, Bettina. I know everybody's excited to learn from you, so we are just going to dive right in. And for folks that are listening, they know that particularly when I have somebody on our show for the first time, I always like to ask, you know, what got them into fitness? What got them started? Did it happen at a young age? Was it later? So for you, Bettina, what was it and when and why that you first got interested in leading a fit and healthy lifestyle?
Yeah, you know, I danced when I was in junior high and high school, and, you know, I always loved to dance. And, you know, I thought I was in pretty good shape because I was a dancer. I had very good cardio and, you know, obviously very, very aware of my body. But it wasn't until my roommate, she took me to a boot camp class when I was playing in a band full time. That was my job. So I stayed up till real late every weekend. She took me to a boot camp class and I died. It was the most embarrassing thing. And she still to this day will give me crap for how crappy I did. But it's just so funny because she makes fun of like the weights that I had, and like she was like, "You were such a weenie." It was so funny and I can't believe it. But it was so funny. But yeah, so after that class, instead of letting it defeat me, it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get better at this. You know, I thought I was in shape, and like that little hour like made me so determined. So I just kept going to class, started hiring a personal trainer, and I got super badass because I felt really good. But after that, it was one of those things where I just was like, okay, this feeling is like no other. And I wanted other people to feel that way too. So that's when I wanted to become a personal trainer. You know, I stayed up till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. on the weekends playing in a band. And, you know, your body wears on you if you don't take care of it. You know, if you don't get enough sleep, if you don't do this. So after that, I just really told myself, like, I want to create a healthy lifestyle and I want to be able to do that for other people.
That's amazing. And, you know, I mean, that's truly what, when we say, I mean, not to be hokey, but I'm going to be hokey. When we defined Fitfluential as the name of our company, that's what you are. You know, you're not only living this and letting this lifestyle transform you, but then you want to share that with others. And that's what I think is so exciting, is to watch when that transformation happens. And then when people get so fired up to help others, because you want that for others, you want to pass it on.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, I know that when you and I first chatted before the show, I said, I'm really personally excited to ask you some of these questions because we talked about your approach to holistic training, and I want you to really share what that means to our audience. But then some of the things that we're going to talk about that you feel very passionate about, you know, incorporating into your training, diversity, this holistic approach, but also foam rolling and mobility. These are things that have been game changing for me and my fitness and my body with my trainer. And I just started with this new trainer here in Austin, probably about 2 months ago. And the number one thing that he was focusing on me was not how heavy can we get you on the leg press or anything of that nature. It was correct form, mobility, and a lot of foam rolling and using these, what I call his house of pain torture devices for my feet or whatever. And at first I thought, are you just doing this to make me not feel well because you're in a position of power? I joke, but seriously. And then once I started doing it, I could see how each session, it enabled me to perform better. And that's not just me throwing that out there and trying to sound cool. It really did. And I've been sharing this on social media. It's transforming me because it's transforming my ability of what I can do in the gym with him. So I'm going to put this on you and let you start to explain it in your terms, because I'm sure you'll do it more articulately than I have.
No.
But tell us more about holistic training.
Yeah, well, because, you know, we get so caught up in, like, we really love the workouts that we do. And then people get so caught up in, oh, my God, I sweat so much and I want to do that every single day. And then they do that every single day and then they realize, you know, their body starts to hurt and they get injuries a little bit faster. So, you know, holistic training is all about just incorporating other things and not just doing the same thing every single day. You know, and I was a perfect example. Even when I first started, you know, all I want to do was that boot camp class over and over and over and over. But I realized like my body started to break down. I started to, you know, my arms started hurting. My shoulder was hurting. My hips were getting tight. Because the more you work out, the tighter your muscles are going to get if you're not taking care of them. Your body is going to need more mobility and it's going to need more love, I like to say. You know, like you said, it hurts in the beginning, but it starts to feel better. Foam rolling is the number one thing I tell, you know, it's like the first time you get someone on a foam roller, you see a lot of pain faces. You're like, oh, that like pain face. And you're like, oh gosh, what? breathe. That's the biggest thing.
So key. It's true.
Yes, so key. And, you know, in holistic training, it's not even just about, you know, just incorporating foam rolling and stretching, because you don't want to just do yoga in addition to your things. You want to be able to break down that muscle with your with your foam rolling or your lacrosse ball or whatever it is your trainer probably has used with you. If you think about, people think, oh, my muscles are so tight, I'm just going to go to yoga. But I like to compare it like a piece of string. Like your muscles are like a piece of string. And imagine there's like a knot in it, because those are the little micro tears that your muscles are getting whenever you're working out a lot. And if you're just going straight to yoga and you're just stretching that string more and more and more and your muscles tighter and tighter, all you're doing is just stretching out that string a little bit tighter, and those muscles are going to get tighter where it's knotted. And
wow, that's a great way to explain it.
Yeah, so it's a good way just a good visualization. I mean, yeah, you might be more flexible in other spots, but then if you're not breaking down the spots that are tight, then guess what? There's going to be overcompensations, and then you'll lose stability in other parts, and then you'll lose mobility in other parts. And stability and mobility are two completely different things. You know, you have to be able to get your core tight so that you can move other parts of your body. So I feel like people need to incorporate different kind of movements. You know, everyone doesn't have to do yoga and Pilates, but I feel like Pilates and like barre and all that stuff is so good for people, and they probably don't incorporate it enough. And men don't have to do barre, but they can do Pilates style movements and mobility style movements. Just to make sure that their core is strong and that their body is being able to move in full range of motion. Because I think it's really funny, in Chicago, there's this one gym or one studio that has a class called Bring Your Boy to Bar, BYOB. Yeah, and it's so funny because you'll see the guys come in and they are just dying in these classes because they don't know how to control their body. And that's where the stability comes in, you know, like small little isolated movements. So holistic training, you want to be able to incorporate those small isolated movements, but then also be able to incorporate those big powerful movements with the weights and, you know, the leg press, like you mentioned. I mean, that is still important and you still want to be able to lift heavy, but you want to be able to move your body in multiple directions on its own without weight.
This is a good point for me too, because you had so many great truth bombs there. But I just want to chime in as somebody who is not a personal trainer yet. I'm going to put that in parentheses because yes. I have decided recently to get my personal training certification.
That's amazing. I love that.
I'm so enthralled with everything I've been learning. Most recently, again, because of all the mobility work I'm doing with my trainer, because of I've got two different massage ladies that work on me here at Honey Spa, and they're both what I call more body workers. So, you know, they'll tell me, they're like, oh my God, you know, this, your scalene's here and your, you know, your IT band here, they're working on my abs and all of it. And it's not even, it's funny, when I go to get work done, I now call it like I'm getting worked on, as opposed to like the Zen relaxation spa.
Yeah. When I say I'm getting a massage, it's never really a Zen massage. It's usually like someone's like getting in there.
But I found myself so fascinated that led me to saying, I want to get my certification. And who knows? I mean, not necessarily as I'm running Fitfluential that I can train people, but I just want that knowledge. I want to understand it. But what I want to say to everybody that's listening, and I firmly believe this, I have learned so much and watched my 48-year-old body transform in the most positive way ever. Like, I feel like I'm getting in the best shape of my life and the best movement and flexibility. And what I want to say as emphatically as I can is, people, don't underestimate getting a trainer. Get a trainer who can help you. And I wasn't told to say this, but Tina didn't know I was going to say this. I've become very, very passionate. In fact, I'm working on getting a program set up where I can encourage as many of our, we've got about 7,000 Fitfluential ambassadors, and a lot of them are trainers, but I really want to encourage as many of them to get their personal training certification. Because if you're passionate about fitness, you want to help other people, get that certification so that you can be a guide on this stuff. But again, for everybody listening, if you've not worked with a trainer, let me just tell you how game-changing it will be for your fitness experience, when you have somebody that knows how to guide you and that can get you past, you know, it's one thing to be passionate about fitness and look on Instagram and, you know, look on certain blogs and somebody go, oh, okay, I know, you know, I'm a girl, I need to build the glutes, I got to lift heavy, it's all about squat, I got to go in and then you're going to think that's all you need to do. Or if you're a guy, you know, you're going to go into the gym and you're going to think, let me build up my chest, let me build up my biceps. And you don't have anyone telling you, number one, how to do it, what the right form is, how to fuel your body for that. And then, you know, secondly, and most importantly, there's that major diversity component that's missing. And no, there's so few, there's just not enough out there in the fitness space. That's one of the things I'm committed to changing on foam rolling, on mobility, on the importance of it, and how you can't, just like you said, go to yoga and complement everything. Mm-hmm. That it needs to be, you've got to look at this as a comprehensive program. What do you think, just that's a total side note question, do you think there's emerging more coverage on these types of topics and the importance of mobility and foam rolling, or is there certainly not enough in your opinion?
I definitely think there should be more. I think it's increasing. I've even noticed a lot more gyms and a lot more boutique studios incorporating mobility classes and calling them mobility versus yoga, which is so great. But I think as far as a consumer and as far as, you know, just the gym goer, or just the, you know, the day-to-day person, they're not really sure what the difference between like mobility and yoga is. When they hear mobility, exactly, they immediately think, you know, yoga, I'm going to stretch. You know, you still see people before their workouts doing like static stretching, but you know, you have to think dynamic movements. You have to think, you know, trying to get your body prepped and ready to work out. And I think that needs to be a little bit more, like people need to know a little bit more about mobility versus yoga.
That's, you know, you make a great point. And I think that would be a good, because I know that I didn't understand this, and I hang around fitness people all the time. You know, this is my business. And I still, until Blaine, he's my trainer here, had explained, and he's so great because when I'm in a session with him at the Gold's Gym, you know, I'll be able to ask him, okay, wait, why are we doing this? Why are you having me do this? And he takes the time to explain everything to me. So that makes me not, I'm an active participant. But back to what you just said a second ago, there's a lot of women that are listening to the show and they've never been exposed to anything that is mobility focused. They're probably like I was before, going, isn't that like, you know, swinging your leg around up front? What? So, you know, I'm going to say that the prevailing messaging that's been out in fitness for women is that you stretch after you work out, you stretch for like 90 seconds after, you know, that's what most people do in a group fitness class or whatever. And that's enough. And that's what people will think stretching and mobility is. So I'm going to put that on you and let you correct that and tell us what we should be focusing on and what and when. Because I think what you're going to say is before, not after.
Foam rolling, 100% before. People always think that foam rolling is the thing to do. Or if you're familiar with foam rolling, you think that's the thing to do when you're sore and you think it's going to make you feel better. Yes, that's true. But it's ideal that you do it before you work out so you don't get as sore. So, you know, not only are you breaking down, you know, all the tissue in the fascia that has been broken down when you're working out, but you're going to, from there, get your muscles ready to work out. And, you know, before you work out, you need them to be not tight. You want them to be ready and prepped, but you also don't want them to be too statically stretched so they're not ready to work out, because at that point they're going to be too loose to want to work out. So you want them to just be active and ready. So when you're foam rolling, you're waking up those muscles. So I mean, a perfect example would with foam rolling. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh no,
go ahead. I'm going to ask you. I'll ask my next question.
Well, my favorite things to do for people, even just like number one, I feel like the first foam rolling thing that I get people on where their face just kind of gets that pain face is the quads. Everyone's quads are always super, super tight. Mm-hmm. But my favorite one is people don't realize how tight their T-spine is, their upper part of their back. You know, it's a day and age where we're sitting here on the computers, we're sitting here on our phones, we're on Instagram, we're listening to podcasts, you know, we're always on our phone. And our shoulders tend to roll forward, but we need to make sure they're rolled back. So that T-spine just naturally is going to be curled forward. So I always get everyone on that foam roller, opening up the upper part of their back. And just that alone, people are just like, wow, I did not realize how tight it was. And then your back is ready to work out, a little more active, because if it's already rolled forward, it's going to be super tight. And then whenever you're going to be doing back exercises, you might overcompensate with the wrong muscles because your other muscles aren't really ready.
So, so true. And again, everybody that's listening, you know, I'm not just making this up to go, oh yeah, that's totally true for me. Like I have literally been witnessing, it really is. And it's funny because I was in Miami 3 or 4 weeks ago. And one of the things that my trainer has me doing, I don't do any, you know, long cardio sessions. I do, sprints are a big part of my life, and I like it. I don't know, I just feel very Jennifer Garner, very badass when I'm sprinting.
Love it.
Or at least I like to imagine that I am, right?
But I bet you are.
This time when I was going out to do my sprints, I went out and for some reason I hadn't quite gotten it in my brain yet that mobility is always at the beginning. And so even mm-hmm. though when I trained with Blaine, we did that at the beginning, I don't know why. I think my mind was still in that old mindset. Oh, I stretch after I run, yeah. or I stretch after this. Yeah. So I went out and I did my run, and now I did what I air quotes my warm up. So I walked for like 3 minutes, and then I mm-hmm. got into a slow run, and then I started doing sprints. I got to like my fourth sprint session, and I literally felt like my quads were going to explode on my left leg. Uh-huh. And then my right leg, it was this massive amount of, I don't know how to describe it other than it felt like something exploded inside my legs. And at that moment, yeah, I'm like, I don't think I should keep doing this. So I walked very slow. I had muscle cramping. I stretched it out, you know, a little bit, went home. I did some ice, and then I texted Blaine, and he's like, and by that time I kind of figured it out. Wait, I'm supposed to get my muscles ready for the sprints, afterwards. So was my experience there, I'm totally putting you on the spot, was that something that because I didn't, you know, stretch and get my body ready at all, and I mean at all, is that like, I mean, I don't even know what it was, but totally is that to be expected?
Yeah, I mean, it totally be a number of things, but I guarantee a lot of it would have to do with you not getting yourself ready, because we call that the person that just comes out, you know, straight from the gates. Oh, you need to take time, even if it's just like that walking. It's not enough, you know. You need to get mm-hmm. those muscles ready. Even getting a little bit more dynamic movement, some butt kicks down and back, some high knees. Like you see those track runners, they have a full dynamic warm up. You know, they're moving laterally, side to side, doing some lateral shuffles, getting their whole body ready instead of just sprinting. Because that's a lot of fast twitch muscle just going, phew, ready to go. You're going to be, your muscles are going to be real tired real fast.
Yeah. And it's ironic too, because two things, I'm thinking of one of our Fitfluential ambassadors. His name's Stephen Benedict. He's a sprinter. I believe he's even competed in the Olympics. I could be wrong, but I remember that he was sharing with us that so the amount of time he spends sprinting versus the amount of time he preps his body for that sprinting workout or session, it's like double at the front end. Versus, you know, what they do. And sprinters have some of the most beautiful physiques on the planet. What I can also tell everybody that's listening is ever since that time when my muscles exploded like a cauliflower that had been thrown up against the wall, that session, ever since then, I made sure that I did my mobility, and I do my mobility at the beginning of every workout. And it is hard. You brought up something there a second ago about time. And I think a lot of busy moms, busy women, busy corporate, life, this is meant for men and women, but you can get to the point where you think, I don't have time for this. I've just got to get my workout done. I've got to get out of here. But this could probably be one of the most critical things you make time for. Would you agree?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. You'd rather do that and make the time for it rather than not being able to work out later on because you have an injury.
Yeah. So it's just as much, would you say, when you're focusing on this pre-workout that's consistent mobility. I think that what I do now with the different movements and some of it's foam rolling and some of it are more like, you know, pretty extreme pigeon pose and runner's lunges and things that are specific to my needs. I have very tight hips, tight groin hips, tight. I've got fluid buildup in my knee. I've got all kinds of issues, but you know what? They're getting better each time.
That's great.
My movements are particular to what I need to do for my body. So it's going to be different for every single person. But focusing on that is just as much about injury prevention as it is about how much better you can perform in your workouts. So what would you say, you know, when it comes to injury prevention, what are some of the typical things that, you've seen when you train clients that if they're not paying attention, what are some of common injuries that, you see pop up that people, they don't realize it's coming? I mean, I know we hear about in the runners community, we have a lot of runners in Fitfluential. We hear about plantar, how do you say it?
Fasciitis.
And a lot of that,
there's so many, like a lot of things that come from your, shoulder or your like any shoulder injuries and, feet and knees, they're usually coming from those hips. Like your core and your hips are like the center of everything. And if your hips are misaligned or they're tight on one side, it's going to make the opposite knee hurt. It's going to make the opposite, or it's going to make that ankle hurt. It's going to make the opposite shoulder hurt because your body isn't moving the way it's supposed to. So if it's, not aligned properly, you know, it's, you can get so many different kind of injuries. But the one thing that I've noticed with people, they always, especially during certain mobility sessions, the people that don't want to do it rush through the movements and they kind of do the movements that they're already good at. It's really important to just be aware of your body. That's why I really love yoga. Because they really teach you to be more aware of your body. Because if you're not, you're just going to go through the motions and you're just going to, let's say you have a really flexible lower back, like most, especially most women have very, very curved lower back. When they're moving through certain movements, they're just going to move through their lower back, but they're not focusing on their hips because their lower back is really flexible. So you have to really focus on the things that are tighter and try to make those better instead of just making the stuff that's already loose, looser. So I think that's really important. You know,
sorry, I just got, that was such a, I'm so going to build on that. That was such a perfect point, but I'm going to let you finish.
Oh no, I don't even remember what I was finished.
I started exclaiming, everything you just said, is key. And I've noticed it in myself. I noticed that from a training perspective, I had this tendency to always go and do the, you know, I love leg day, so I'd always do leg day.
Yep.
I love shoulders, and I've always loved really buff arms, so I'd always work out my shoulders and my biceps. I hated triceps, and I had the mistaken impression that if, as a woman, for some reason, I thought, well, if I make my tricep bigger, it's going to make my arm look fatter. I don't want my tricep. And it's so silly, because ladies, what I'm going to tell you is, when I switched my mindset, and I realized that I was really giving a lot of attention to training the things that, number one, I enjoyed training, and two, that I wanted to improve. And when I changed and started balancing and looking at the whole body, and that means training my calves, training my quads and my hams and my glutes and my core, like everything, chest. Yeah. I hate training chest, yeah. Excuse me. When I started focusing on that and cutting back on excessive cardio, I started noticing my body, and I would look in the mirror and go, oh my God, that's not like, I would look at my triceps and go, oh my God, I had no idea my arms could look that way. So it is absolutely amazing. And that's just to reinforce what you just said, Bettina, which is, you know, we're going to try to lean towards what we love. Yeah, and what we're good at. And what you should do is find out what you need. And this is another way that I'm going to, or another reason why I'm going to have to say, it's really great if you want to progress to get a trainer. I don't have an agenda here other than to tell people I feel so passionately that if you can make room in your, it's true. If you can make room in your budget to invest in a trainer, it's the best money you'll ever spend. Because for me, I knew that I wanted to work on my core. I had no idea how weak my core was. I knew that my hips, you know, were so tight, but you know, I didn't know that, like you said, your hips and everything underneath this body is connected. And that when your hips are tight, say again, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, everything up top too, like your shoulders, for sure. Your neck is tight,
Everything is connected. And I am in this fascinating phase again, when I go get my massage ladies, they'll work on me and she'll explain why, you know, when she's working on my scalenes and the pain shoots down my arm, she'll explain that's because this is here. And then when I say, oh, well, you know, I have this, you know, why is that happening with the back of my knees or my hamstrings? And she'll say, well, you know, this is tied to your lower back. This is tied up here. And then when I got my anatomy books, you see, it's all connected. But, you know, back to looking at our bodies as a temple, if you look at your body like it's a gift, like it's a temple, you've been given this vessel, why would you only want to make parts of it be optimized, make parts of it better. You've got to have a comprehensive plan, and it's got to be long-term as well. Do you still find that when you have, I don't know if you train clients one-on-one or not, but you know, people that come to you fitness advice or clients that you're training one-on-one, do you tend to have to work with them to get them into a longer term mindset? Do so many people still say, well, I just want to be skinny. I want to be toned.
I just want a Kim Kardashian butt.
Are people really asking for that?
Oh yeah. They still do.
I mean, I understand wanting the glutes, but like, I don't know how from a muscle perspective that you could, get to that place. I mean, I've always had junk in the trunk, but I'm realizing as I'm losing weight and I'm losing fat, like my butt has been getting so small. I said to my trainer, I'm I'm detached enough to know that, okay, so the way that I had a butt was more fat than muscle, but the cool thing is now when I build it up, it will be muscle, but it's work to get that booty up there. You can't just focus on one part. So how do you get past, that's probably a good point for us to close up on as we, because we're hitting our time and I'm going to stalk you to get you back on the show, but considering a lot of women look up to you and you train a lot of women, I'm sure you train men and women, but a lot of women are going to be listening to the show. When people are just starting off on a fitness journey and they're focused on something like that, like, well, I just want to get, my abs back. I just want to be this size, or I just want to get toned arms like Jennifer Aniston, or I want Kim Kardashian's butt. What do you say to those people to get them past that limiting mindset?
You have to start small and you have to set small goals and celebrate small victories first. Because when you have that giant goal, it's going to be hard to achieve. And if you don't get it right away, you're going to be disappointed. And that's just the flat out truth. So you have to give yourself a small goal. Like, let's say you want a booty, then you have to plan, okay, I want to do a squat day, or I'm going to do a workout that's just going to be all legs one day and just focus. Even if it's just something as simple as that, that's really important, because people are just like, okay, well, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. Okay, well, that's a good start, but let's start with a specific small goal first, and then from there celebrate, and then start to get more and add on to there.
That's awesome. And baby steps for sure.
Baby steps.
It's something that was a game changer for me. I used to be that. I'm sure you're probably picking up on this with my personality, but I was Miss Extreme. You know, I'd be like, okay, diet on Monday. I'm going to get rid of everything in my house. I'm only going to have water and chicken in my house and broccoli. I'm not going to touch anything. No alcohol for a year. And that lasts for like 2 days, because then you're like, this sucks. You're like,
wah, wah. Yep. And then you get disappointed so, if it doesn't happen.
I have gotten to the point, sometimes I'll do like a challenge with myself of, you know, hey, this is what I want to do this month, but I've stopped putting a deadline on anything. Cause to me, even when I met with my trainer for the first time, I said, here's what I want to do this year. This is what I want to do next year. Like I don't say I want to lose this many pounds in 6 weeks. Stop doing that, people. And I'm not saying I have the perfect mindset, but I've come a long way, baby. And it's made me enjoy the process a lot more. All this mobility, it's made me enjoy the process so much more. So, Bettina, it's funny. When I knew I was going to have you on the show, I didn't realize that we were going to talk about this, but it's so very timely that you are passionate about it. Yeah, and it's something that we need to give more attention to. And considering we talked about on this show that there's not enough instruction out there, there's not enough in the media, I'll circle back with you, because I think that we should really focus on getting some, you know, good education and information out about this, so that women aren't out there making the same mistakes that I was for years. Because that can cause injury and certainly can cause a lot of people to throw in the towel with their fitness efforts, you know, sooner rather than later. So if you agree, I'll follow up with you after the show. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, but I love it.
In closing, because I know that I have to let you go, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, where can they dig you up online? Where can they find you, your website, and your best social media platforms?
My website is just my first and last name, BettinaGozo.com, and then stay with my Instagram. So it's pretty easy to find me.
We will also make sure we link up to everything on fitfluentialradio.com. You can follow us there and leave any questions that you might have for Bettina there. As well, let me just give a plug for Nike, the company that she does a lot of work with. I just noticed that they have, honestly, I have become so obsessed with Nike shoes lately. I think they have some of the best shoes out there on the planet in every available color, ladies. So I'm just putting that out there as a shop opportunity moment for you that, yeah, you need to tune into that because it has become a really fun obsession. So in closing, thank you so much, Bettina, for being on the show. This has been a real joy. I've learned a lot and we'll definitely try to have you back. And for everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. We will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.